What is going on, everybody? Welcome to
episode number 11 of the Reverent Babel podcast.
And this is Cody Kelly.
What's wrong, Cody? You look a little surprised.
I can definitely see that was a little bit of payback for what I did to you in the weekly score a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, I was hoping that it would sound familiar to you. But welcome. Continue on, sir.
Okay. This is Cody Kelly.
Oh, and hey, this is New Huntley.
And we're just so happy that you have come back to join us for some more Reverent Babble. So, Neil, what's new with you, other than the fact that you just ruined my intro?
Well, I've got a lot of new stuff going on, actually. We finished up VBS last week.
Yes.
That was fun. It was hot, but it was fun. It's still hot this week. I'm coming in to the studio today. My skin is still warm from being outside working all day.
I bet.
It's hot, and it's about to be August. You know what that means? It's more hot.
Yes.
So it'll cool down about Thanksgiving around here. If y'all live around this area, it usually gets more consistent in the cool weather about Thanksgiving, I would say. So
right.
There's a good potential we'll still be wearing shorts come Halloween and all that stuff.
Well, as for me, I wear shorts pretty much every day of the year anyway. So.
You do. That's true. But it's been a good week so far. Graham started daycare this week.
Yes, I saw your post that you put on Twitter about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
how'd that go?
Oh, it went great. He had a great first day. He's going to a daycare at a local church, which is awesome, you know.
So oh, yeah.
At least he's got some good people around him and some people that, you know, have good biblical knowledge.
Right.
Good walks with Christ and things like that. So that's encouraging to know. But he had a great first day. He was very, very happy to see us at the end of the day.
Oh, I bet.
Amber's sister, my sister-in-law, took him. We just figured it'd be a little bit easier on him to not take him and him see us leave, you know.
Right.
Because, I mean, he's been with his mom. He's been with Amber since this whole pandemic started.
Right.
Since she's been home from school. That was, I mean, that's been.
Like, what, since like March?
March. So, yeah. I mean, good four and a half months. He's been at home every day, you know, unless he goes hangs out at my mom's house or Amber's mom's house while, you know, we get some stuff done.
Right.
But he's been with mama majority of these past 4 months. So we knew it was going to be tough. I mean, shoot, I know it's tough. Me and him will be playing in the living room. And all of a sudden he's like, oh, yeah, mom's in the kitchen. Let me run in there and go find her for a little bit. I mean, and it's nothing against me. I think he loves mama. I mean, I love his mama too, you know. But he had a great day yesterday. Of course, we couldn't go in to pick him up. We had to knock on the door because, you know, just keeping everybody safe and whatnot. But he saw me. He saw me through the window of the door first. And he pointed right at me and he said, Dad. And I was like, hey, buddy. And he was like, hey, we need to go home. Let's go, you know. But no,
he said, get me out of here.
They said,
let me go home.
They said he had a great day. Amber's going to pick him and our nephew Kate up this afternoon. So they're going to play a little bit. This afternoon as well.
Nice.
But it's good to get that in a routine, you know, and
it's
good for him and it's good for Amber and I as well, because it helps him build some social skills, you know, even though he's 17 months today.
Yeah,
17
nice.
Months old today. It builds him some social skills. It gets him around people that he might not know too well that he can get to know, you know. It might help with the whole freaking out when mama leaves the room kind of deal,
yes.
You know, and things like that. But it's been good so far, definitely.
Well, that's awesome, man.
But it's like I said, it's been a great week. We got some things coming up at church that I'm excited about. Got a lock-in planned, so we're going to see how that works and more details to come about that. But yeah, it's been busy, but it's a good busy. I love being busy. What about you, man? What's new with you?
Oh, okay. Well, actually, surprisingly, I have a lot to talk about this time.
Oh, really? Instead of saying not so much or not too much?
Yes. All right. Well, this past weekend, I went to my sister's house, and I hung out there, and that was a lot of fun. You know, being able to see them at their house again before they leave for Arizona in a few weeks. You know, so it was nice, like seen them here one last time, you know, like in their house, like normal, you know, like being able to hang out with them.
Yeah. Speaking of heat, they're going somewhere.
Yeah.
Which they're going to leave the humidity here, thankfully.
Oh yeah. I know.
I've never been out west. I think I've told you, I may have never said it on the podcast. I've never traveled outside this time zone, Cody.
Really?
I've always been on Eastern time. Always. Every year, every day of my life, I've been Eastern time.
I've been out of this time zone once, and that was when I first actually met her. Is when I went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, because I went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee to meet her because at the time she was...
Right, yeah.
She was living in Tennessee, so we all met there. But other than that, that's the only time I've ever been...
Outside of Eastern Time.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that, you know, I've never ventured that far, but I've heard that out west heat is very dry, you know.
Yes, I've heard
and
that too.
I've heard, oh, it's a dry heat. Well, it's 112 degrees out here, but it's a dry heat. Well, come over here. I got gills from the humidity in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's great. So y'all helped them pack, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They already had a lot of their things already planned out, already planned out and getting ready to go because, they'll actually be in a temporary home that's in the same neighborhood that they live in, you know, because they already sold their house. But whenever they have their going away party on the 22nd of next month, they'll be at a temporary house. And then after that, they'll be heading out. This past weekend was the last time I'll see them at their house that they that they actually lived in with when they came here.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. And you got somewhere you're going this evening, right?
Yes, I am. Like, pretty much as soon as we're finished recording this episode, I'm going to go to Albemarle. I can't hardly ever say that name.
Yeah, Albemarle. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just kind of just got to commit to it and just whatever comes out, that's where you're going. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know. And see the Casting Crowns concert. Yeah,
are they doing it at the drive-in theater up there?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. I've never been up there. I've heard great things about it. I knew they were doing a concert there.
Yeah.
And I think Toby Mac got one coming up there too.
I think I heard about that one too. Like, I'm not sure I'll be able to make it to the Toby Mac one, but the Casting Crowns one will be a lot of fun. It'll be the second time I've seen him in concert, so it'll be a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, I saw him in concert one time too. It was after a Atlanta Braves game.
Really?
Yeah, it was Faith and Family Day.
Oh, that's cool.
At the Braves game, that game was scheduled for 1:00. It was a Sunday afternoon game.
Oh, nice.
And so it's going to be 1:00. Rain came. The game didn't start till 4:00. So we sat at the ballpark for 3 hours.
Wow.
And then once the game was over, about, I want to say, 6:30, it was a pretty fast-paced game.
Oh, nice.
After the rain delay. But then we had the Casting Crowns concert after that. So it was a long day at the ballpark.
I'm pretty sure
we got there around 11:30. And this was when it was at Turner Field. We got there at 11:30. I think we left about probably pushing 8:30. So it was a long day.
Yeah.
We put in a work shift at the ballpark that day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, cool deal, man. What you got?
And I promise you, this is the last thing, and then I'm done. We're going to head out this weekend for a vacation to the beach.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. I haven't been to the beach in like 2 years.
What beach are you going to?
We're going to North Myrtle Beach.
Okay, you going North Myrtle?
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool deal, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, y'all,
so that'd be a lot of fun.
Y'all have a good time. Yeah, you'll be at the beach next week.
Yeah.
So I'll be flying solo on next week's podcast.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I might try to get some people to call in. Might have some good discussion questions or something. We'll see what's going on. I talk by myself to y'all twice a week at church.
Yeah.
Maybe I can talk by myself for maybe 15, 20 minutes to this microphone in front of my face. But we're going to have fun nonetheless. You're going to have a great time at the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy that time. Enjoy that time with your family, especially, you know, what you got college stuff coming up and all that, because living at this house full time, time's ticking a little bit on that. So,
oh yeah, I
take
know.
Every moment you can with them, man. Enjoy it.
Oh well, thank you, man. I'm sure I will.
All right, well, let's get on with the show. You got anything else you want to add in the intros today, Coach?
I think I'm good.
You had a mouthful today. I'm proud of you. Good job.
You
prepped for the intro. I'm just picking with you. All right, let's get on to the Doble Diva. Hey y'all, it's Neil here. While Cody and I are sitting back, taking a little break, maybe taking a sip of water or who knows what, just want to thank y'all for listening to the podcast. We got a good show lined up today, and just wanted to let you know that if you hadn't subscribed yet, please subscribe if you're on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so many more. If you want to get in touch with us and you don't see our beautiful faces every day, you can email us if that's what you're into, reverendbabble@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at reverendbabble. There's links to mine and Cody's personal Twitter accounts on that page as well. We're also on Instagram and Facebook now, at reverendbabble on Instagram, keeping it simple, and just search Reverent Babble Podcast on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a follow. If you want to talk to us, like I said, we'll talk right back. But enough of that. Let's get back to the show.
All right, and we're back. Welcome to the Double Play Devo portion of the show. You know, this is basically the portion of the show where we just talk about different topics related to the Bible and our Christian walk, and just topics that we found interesting that applied to our life, and we just want to share them with y'all. And today was Neil's week to find a topic, and I heard that you found this topic, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so I liked it. I'll start out with just a simple question to you, Cody.
All right.
Make sure I'm talking in the microphone, too. Sorry.
No, it's all good.
When you hear the phrase either practice what you preach or talk versus action, what do you think?
Well, what I think of when I hear that phrase is basically don't tell other people what to do unless you've experienced that yourself and that you're actually living out what you're telling people to do. It's like for an example's sake, I can watch a Major League Baseball game. And I can get mad at players for doing things or coaches doing things that I don't agree that they're doing.
Right.
But I'm not in their positions.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's like I don't want to tell them what to do if I'm not in the same position that they are. I'm not practicing like they do. I don't have the same schedules that they have. I don't have their lives.
Sure.
So I don't want to feel like I'm telling them what to do in that situation.
Yeah.
And of course, when I hear practice what you preach or talk versus action, I basically just think of taking the next step to, like, taking that next step to actually doing what you're telling other people to do or telling yourself to do and just kind of living out what you tell others.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. What I'm talking about today is it's really easy, especially in today's world, it's easy to talk more than it is to act on stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know why it's so easy to talk? Because we are all some form of fashion, what I like to call keyboard warriors, okay? not everybody is as bad at it as some people are. There are some people that they live behind the screen.
Right.
They live behind a computer, they live behind a laptop. They only voice their opinions through their thumbs on the keyboard, right?
Right, right.
They don't act on stuff. They join a hashtag. They post a picture on Instagram or whatever, but they don't act for whatever they're trying to talk about, okay? And I'm talking about this in the eyes of the church, in the eyes of our walk with Christ. So many people are so quick to put a Bible verse on their skin as a tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
So many people are real quick to put that Jesus, that Christian fish symbol on the back of their car and then probably, you know, have road rage and flip somebody off when they cut them off. You know what I'm just saying? But people are so quick to put, you know, Bible verses on their stories, on their news feed, on whatever it is online. They want to put up a front, but they're not acting on it.
Right.
Okay. Cody, is it good to know scripture?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Is it good to go to church?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Is it good to go to, you know, get your kids involved in church and get involved in helping at church? Absolutely.
Yes.
Those things I just asked you, does that get you into heaven?
No.
No. No. Going to a church every Sunday doesn't get you into heaven. Being a youth pastor, no, that doesn't. Or being in any kind of role at a church.
Right.
Having a church job, that doesn't get you into heaven. You know, putting stuff on Instagram, sharing that thing that says one share equals one prayer, you know, stuff like yeah. that you see all over online, that doesn't get you into heaven. Having faith in Jesus Christ and listening to what he has commanded us to do on this earth by going out and acting on his behalf.
Right.
Not just running our mouth and putting up a front, right? Going out and acting on his behalf and walking out of our rooms, even though we're supposed to be in quarantine somewhere, right? Walk outside, put a mask on if you're asked to, right? But go out and act on his behalf. Just because we're, you know, in a pandemic doesn't mean we can't go out and tell other people about Christ.
Oh, right. For sure. Absolutely.
So that's what I'm talking about is talk versus action. Practice what you preach. If you're putting all this stuff online, act it in real life. You know, they can't be a mix of both. Because if you're not, if you might think you're fooling somebody, you might think you're only fooling yourself, honestly.
Right.
You know, it's just like when you play sports and, you know, your coach says, if you're cheating in your workouts, you're only cheating on yourself, right? You know, you're not cheating on anybody else but yourself. But that's what I wanted to talk about today. And I know you found a scripture, so I'll let you read that one first.
Oh, okay. Alrighty, so whenever you sent me the text about this topic, I was like trying to find at least one verse, you know, that relates to the main topic. And actually, with some help from my dad on this one, I actually managed to find this verse. And this is in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. And it says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I mean, this pretty self. That verse is pretty self. This verse is pretty self-explanatory. You know, it's basically saying, you know, we can talk about God, and we can like show our appreciation to God through our, like you said, like through social media posts, or you know, Bible verse tattoos, or a Jesus fish on the back of your car. But if our hearts aren't geared towards what our main goal is as Christians, is living our Christian walk and telling others about Christ through our actions instead of by our mouths.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and folks, don't get me wrong. What I said at the beginning doesn't mean that it's not bad stuff to do.
Tattoos,
that's open for discussion on. Everybody's got a different opinion that. I'm not saying whether to get a tattoo or not.
No.
I mean, if you find a way to proclaim Jesus Christ as your Savior, by all means, do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's no wrong way to tell people about Christ, and like as in a way to get it out there, whether it's, you know, something on your car, something on social media, something on a piece of clothing that you wear, something that's nothing wrong with that. As long as, you know, that's, you're pure about it, long as you're being realistic about it, and your heart means just as much as your mouth does.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, sure. Exactly.
Yeah. So you got to make sure it's pure in your heart. And one thing that, you know, even new Christians, even people that, whether they have been in the church all their life and all of a sudden got saved, or people that got saved and started going to church, you know, there's so many different ways to be a new Christian, but a lot of people don't think about actually going out and spreading the gospel. Okay. A lot of people just think, well, I got saved, check, I'm in.
Right.
But yeah.
You're in, but there's more to it.
Right. We're called to go out and tell people about this, you know, because it says clearly in Scripture that every ear will hear about Jesus, and then times will start to come to an end, right? So, you know, whether it's somebody right down the street in Marshall right beside the Bojangles, or it's somebody way out in the rainforest, you know, they're going to hear about God somehow, you know. It may not be word of mouth. It may be another way to, you know, that God reveals himself to them. But everybody on this earth is going to have a chance to know Christ.
Right.
So we need to be part of that. We need to be part of that great mission. And we're called to do that so many times in Scripture. Matthew chapter 28, we'll stick in Matthew. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." David wrote in Psalm to declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. And once again, in Mark says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." And this was after he was risen from the dead, right? This is after he was resurrected. Once he died on that cross, and once he rose from the dead, once we accept that, we're wiped clean of all our sin, right?
Right.
All that, we're reconnected with God. Sin doesn't hold us down anymore. But after the fact, we're supposed to go tell other people about it.
Right.
You know, so we have to make sure that Christ is in our heart. We have to make sure that what we're saying is what we also believe ourselves. It's not just on the outside. Because going back to like what a coach said, you're not cheating anybody but yourself.
Right, absolutely. You know, and it's like showing Christ through our actions. I mean, obviously it helps other people, but it helps us draw closer to God as well. Because it helps us as Christians, because if we're intentionally thinking, I'm going to show Christ to others through my actions, it helps us to stay focused and stay on track as well.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing that's helped me do that, and I need to make a point and do it every single day. Of course, I pray in the mornings on the way to work, every morning in the truck from the house to work. I'm praying on the way.
Right.
That's about 7 minutes. Okay, about five if I'm running late. All right. But what I have done when I'm mindful of it is I even say it to God too. I say, you know, God, I'm going to keep this line of prayer open. You know, I don't want to say amen. I want to keep it open, you know?
Right.
And that actually helps me have a more sound mind that day in my reactions and my body language.
Makes sense.
And my thoughts, because it's almost like, hey, you know, even if I said amen, God's still right there and he's still listening. He knows exactly what's going on. But me keeping that prayer open, quote unquote,
right,
it holds me accountable. And I've learned to do that, especially in days where I know I might be in a bad mood about something, or if I'm not looking to a certain part of the day gets coming. Keeping that open line of prayer helps me a lot.
Right.
So, but that's what I have for today in the Devo. So make sure you're acting on what you're saying, okay? Don't have a mask. Well, wear a mask for COVID if you feel the need to do so. But don't put on a church mask, okay? Don't put on a front that just because you're at a certain church makes you a Christian, because if Christ isn't in your heart, we need to sit down and have a talk, you know, and we need to really reassess ourselves. And I'm talking about going out and talking to people about Christ. I'm saying that to myself too.
Oh, right. Same here with me.
I can always make a better effort about being a better example for Christ, whether it's actually talking to somebody about Jesus or just wearing, you know, one of our YAM shirts out in the public and just,
right,
you know, openly praying and things like that. We can always, you know, do better at that. So, but to sum it all up, practice what you preach. Simple as that.
All right. And with that, we will be right back with some sports. Hey, everybody, what's going on? I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Just wanted to take a second just to let you guys know that if you have any prayer needs or just something on your mind, you can always contact us through our social medias. They are in the show notes in the description of this podcast. And just always wanted to let you know that that's always available. If you just want to talk to somebody, if you have any questions, just let us know. And I hope you guys are having a great day. And now back to the show.
All right, it's sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. We had real sports. We had games this week.
Yes, we did.
This is the first ever official actual scores in the weekly score.
Yes.
I'll let you get to baseball when it's your turn.
All right.
But we do have some basketball coming up this week.
Yes, we do.
And you're going to laugh at me. I thought it was last week. I thought we had baseball and basketball kicking off on the same week. But because I was like, okay, cool. Baseball's playing. Where's basketball? And I was like, never mind, it's next week. I was a week ahead of myself. That's going back to VBS just mentally exhausting me. It was great. I had fun, but I was very tired after all that. But we do have basketball coming up this week,
yes,
Cody.
We do.
Starting on Thursday night, we got the Jazz and the Pelicans, so we'll see Zion in the first game back.
Yeah.
And then got Clippers-Lakers that night at 9 o'clock.
Clippers-Lakers?
So that's the two.
Okay,
return games, and
yes,
then it's full speed ahead for the teams that are in this remainder of the season, right? Because we know they kind of cut it off,
right?
So the Hornets aren't in it. Some other teams aren't in it, but the ones that are in it, it's coming. It's here.
Oh yeah, I know.
And they've had some.
I'm excited.
Other than the kind of stuff going on with the Lou Williams guy, they hadn't had too much trouble in their bubble. They had zero positive tests for COVID, so it looks like they're going to be just fine getting started next week.
Yeah.
But that's all I have to say about NBA until we have actual scores.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. But, Cody, I got some good news and I got some bad news.
Okay.
All right. So, good news is I got some NASCAR stuff to talk about.
All right.
Bad news is I had a very, very, very big slice of humble pie when it comes to NASCAR this week. Do you want to know why?
Why?
You know how much mess I gave you last week for not even watching the race?
Yeah.
Guess what I didn't do this past week?
What didn't you do this
I
past week?
I forgot to watch the race.
Oh!
I was watching baseball on Thursday night.
Okay,
after
right.
After VBS.
Okay. Cool.
And
that's cool.
I saw where there was a race on NBC Sports. I thought, it's Thursday night, it's definitely not a cup race on Thursday night.
Right.
I was like, it's either Truck Series, it's either Xfinity Series, it might even be like ARCA or IROC or one of these other smaller series. I was like, there's no way it's the Cup Series. And I got up the next morning And I was just curious as to when the race was, like what time would it be on Sunday coming up. And I saw it said, Denny Hamlin wins the race at Kansas Motor Speedway. And I said, whoa.
Hold on, wait, that was an actual race?
I text my buddy James. He likes watching the races too. And I said, well, I didn't realize last night was a cup race. He said, you didn't watch it? I said, no. He said, you missed a good race. And I went back and watched the highlights. And yeah, that was a great race. Denny Hamlin won. That's win number 5 this year. That is so rare nowadays because all the cars, most especially the top teams, their cars are almost identical, okay? And it's really up to driver skill.
Right.
And it's even more up to driver skill this year because there's no practice, there's no qualifying. So these teams are designing these cars to their best knowledge of how it's going to handle on the racetrack.
Right.
And they're getting different rules packages. They're getting different tires from Goodyear depending on what kind of package they're running at these races. And so a lot of them are just going in with their best effort. They're going in with their best knowledge of that racetrack.
Right.
Which has made it really interesting races. And it's really shown that people like Denny Hamlin, people like Kevin Harvick are really at the top of their game right now. And it's based solely on their skill as a driver.
Right. It almost kind of makes you have a bigger appreciation for those drivers in particular because they're winning all these races without having practicing or qualifying before the races, and they're just kind of going off what they know and their driver's skill and their consistency kind of makes you have a better appreciation for their wins.
Oh, and it makes you have a much more appreciation for these racing teams too.
Oh, I know.
Because it shows you the talent that not only behind the wheel, but on the pit road or at the race shop where they're designing these engines for each race, because every race has a different build of car. They have engineers at these race shops that, you know, spend all this time saying, okay, where do we need to put the downforce this time? Where do we really need to, you know, do we need to make more room for horsepower when we can and things like that because of what kind of racetrack they're at? So it really makes you appreciate like the Joe Gibbs team, like Hendrick Motorsports, these teams that really put an effort in having these top-notch engineers. I'm not saying that these other guys are bad, but it's really, when you take out qualifying, when you take out practice, and you take all that, all these other things where they might either have a really bad day qualifying or they might wreck in practice and have to use a replacement car. And if they do that, they start the back. It really shows you, I mean, these top teams are really going to the top, literally.
Right.
But it was a good race. It was a whole lot more entertaining than the Texas race. There was a few cars that, well, I don't know what was going on, but this goes back to no practice, no qualifying. They just lost control. It was kind of like at the Indy race. There's one car, I think it was Bubba Wallace. He got into a wreck because a car got loose in front of him. It was Matt Kenseth. He got loose. And when he spun to the left, Wallace had nowhere to go.
No.
And when Wallace hit Kenseth, Wallace's front suspension split down the middle, so his car looked like they was, you know, it was
right.
It was bad to say the least. But going back to the Texas race, I showed you this right before we started recording.
Right.
I need to look up the guy's name one more time. I have it right here on my phone, just so I wouldn't forget it. The guy's name is Quinn Huff. Okay.
Quinn Huff,
and it's spelled Houff. Okay, so very interesting name, right? But he is a rookie driver this year in the Cup Series. Okay, not sure. I can't tell you what team he races for. I know he's a 00 car. Okay,
okay.
But he's a rookie driver. But even if you're a rookie driver in the Cup Series, you've had to have some experience in some type of racing. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
You'd have to be a pretty decent driver to be a NASCAR Cup driver, right? All right. So, Cody, in your situation, let's just say you're driving down the road, okay?
Okay.
Let's just say you're going down, let's say, 485. That's a 3-lane highway on each side,
right?
And you want to get off on the next exit that's coming up in, like, I want to say 500 feet. So it's coming up quick.
Right.
You're going 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's going it's up coming pretty up quick.
And you're in the middle lane. What do you do in that situation? Do you check behind you to make sure there's no cars coming?
Yes.
And then you merge over and then eventually get onto the exit?
Yes.
So you wouldn't just make a hard right without looking, right?
But, like, I would check my right mirror and I would make sure no one's coming up behind me, and I would go in the right lane really quickly, and then I would merge onto the exit as quickly as I could before I missed it, obviously.
Well, guess what?
Right.
Mr. Huff did the exact opposite of that. Okay. Okay. This is during green flag racing. So this is live racing. This isn't during caution. This is live racing. They are going around Texas Motor Speedway really, really fast because that track is designed for you to go as fast as you can in a mile and a half. All right. He's going in the middle. He just got out of a three wide. Okay. He is in the middle of the racetrack. He's not running the wall. He's not running the line at the apron. All of a sudden, I don't know if his crew chief says, hey, we need to pit, or hey, I told you to pit and you didn't pit. We need to pit now. He pitted from the middle of the racetrack with all these cars going around him.
He's turning like a hard left?
Yeah, he took a car out. He took De Benedetto out, and that guy was not happy about that. I bet not. One bit. But come on, man. You got to have some sense about you, right? You got to either say, hey, I don't know what's around me. I can't see. Because these guys, they can't just check their blind spots like me and you can in a car.
Right.
They don't have big old mirrors on the side of these car either, you know, because that takes away from the aerodynamic. They have these guys called spotters, if you don't know, in racing that are either in a tower or somewhere in the racetrack that they can see the whole track and they watch the one car, their one car the whole time.
Right.
And help them tell them what's around them so whether they can pass or not. So I don't know if the crew chief just went straight to the driver and said pit and he did exactly what he said, or the crew chief forgot to say, hey, spotter look and see what's around him so he can pit, or I don't know what it was, but that was the biggest bonehead move I've ever seen in a NASCAR race. For you to go probably, I mean, going from 100, at least 150 miles an hour to just shoot, you know, just right down to
just all
to
of a sudden just nothing.
Yeah, and then that, oh my, I can't even talk about it. It was so frustrating watching. I forgot to mention it last week. That's why I wanted to bring it up this week. But this guy, he has been in a lot of wrecks before. Like I said, he's a rookie driver this year. I don't think he raced in Xfinity at all last year, which is odd.
Oh, really? Wow.
Usually rookie cup drivers have experience in the Xfinity, which used to be like the Busch Series and things like that. So that brought up a whole topic about Keselowski saying, you know, maybe we should have guys that graduate to the Cup Series. Or if you have people that are bad enough drivers that they get, like, demoted back down to the Xfinity Series.
Right.
But that's a whole other topic of discussion. But, you know, if you're in the Cup Series race, you gotta. I don't know. Communication is key.
Oh, yeah.
Because these guys, they can't look around that good. They're going to have to use their eyes a lot. I don't know what happened there. That was crazy to see. But
yeah, it's a little bit weird for sure.
Back to the Kansas race. Hats off to Denny. Win number five. That's phenomenal. It's either going to be him or Harvick for the championship, I think. For sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But let me get on to my other stories. I got a couple NFL stories for us, Cody.
All right.
First things first, as about an hour ago, the number one pick, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, Joe Burrow finally reached an agreement on his contract with the Cincinnati Bengals.
All right.
Old boy got paid.
I bet he did.
Pick. According to CBS Sports, number one overall pick in the 2020 draft has agreed in principle to a $36.1 million contract with the Bengals pending a physical later this week. The rookie quarterback is receiving 100% of his $23.88 million signing bonus immediately after signing this contract.
He gets a $23 million signing bonus?
$23 million signing bonus.
That is insane.
That's crazy, man. I mean, my buddy Stefan Anthony, he got drafted 2015. Yeah. Either 2015 or 2016. And he was a first-round pick, and his rookie deal was $21 million for 3 years. So, I mean, that was phenomenal for a first-round pick to get $7 million a year. This guy, Burrow, is getting a $23 million bonus just for signing his name on the dotted line. How crazy is that?
That's crazy, man.
I mean, hats off to him. And, you know, he definitely deserves it after just absolutely dominating college football last year.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely not going to dominate the NFL immediately.
Oh,
does he have a chance to?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's got the talent that he can definitely develop to do that.
But
at least he's got the money to back it up, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, all I ask is that he isn't turned into a Jamarcus Russell or a Ryan Leaf. That's all I ask.
We'll see. Hopefully, he's not a Ryan Leaf. Hopefully, he's definitely not a Jamarcus Russell.
Oh,
hopefully, he doesn't get to the size of Jamarcus Russell that somehow happened between LSU and the Raiders. I don't know what happened there. Next on NFL, we got some players that are backing out from the season, Cody.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, over some concerns about COVID. And
I guess they saw what players in the MLB were doing, so I guess they wanted to do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so according to USA Today, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung pushed Patriots to 6 total players who plan to opt out of the 2020 NFL season.
Ooh.
I mean, you think of 6. 6 is a lot on a baseball team. 6 is still a good bit on a football team, too. Especially, I mean, Hightower
and Chung are both
starters.
Right. They're both they're both really important parts of that defense.
There's other people. Danny Vitale, he's backing out. Najee Torin, Marcus Cannon, they both indicated that they would stay home this season. There's just some concerns about what's going on and if it's going to go away or if it's going to, you know, eventually flatten out. Nobody really knows, you know?
Right, yeah.
We've kind of been stuck in the lull of nobody knows for a while.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of been the case for a while now.
And, you know, maybe it makes the NFL reassess on maybe their plans this year. You know, as of right now, they're going to play at their normal stadiums, kind of like how MLB is doing, right?
Right.
But how many more players are going to back out after this?
Oh, you know? Right, yeah, I know.
If you feel concerned and you're concerned for your safety and your family, that should take priority. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, right, of course.
But maybe this would help the NFL reassess some things on maybe what they need to do. I don't know.
Right.
Just like they don't know. We don't know either, but it's definitely worth talking about. Just like we don't know, we just saw an alert about 10 minutes ago that the NCAA thinks maybe they're postponing the season further into the fall or just playing in the spring for football. That would make sense. Yeah, as of right now, that would make more sense considering it's almost August and your week one starts Labor Day weekend, basically.
Right.
So who knows, man?
So, you know.
Who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. I'll finish out with this story. We talked about people getting paid, talked about Joe Burrow getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows that Pat Mahomes got paid.
Yeah, he did.
Right? And he's already spending his money.
Yes, he is spending his money.
Chiefs quarterback Pat Mahomes becomes part owner of Major League Baseball's Kansas City Royals.
Kansas City Royals, man.
So, and we know he played baseball, right? His dad played baseball. His dad actually played in the majors, right? And who does dad play for? Do you know? Was it the Tigers?
I'm pretty sure that he played for a lot of different teams throughout his career, but I think, like, the team he played for the most was the Tigers, Patrick Mahomes' dad.
Yeah, so
he was also named Patrick Mahomes.
That's right. So Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes II was announced Tuesday as a member of the team's ownership group, the Royals said in a news release. He said that he was honored to become part owner of the Kansas City Royals. I mean, how awesome.
Oh,
is
I
that?
Know. That's
I
so
always
cool.
Envisioned that, you know, if I somehow won the lottery or something, I want to be like some percentage owner of like the Panthers or the Hornets, if I could do
all
that.
Right,
just to have my name, have my say, have somewhat of an opinion to be able to say it at a board meeting or something like that. So, I mean, if you got the money, then Pat's definitely got the money. Go for it. I thought that was awesome to see.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it was kind of funny to me seeing this because, you know, you heard a lot of talk about Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez trying to buy the Mets and trying to do all this different stuff. And then Patrick Mahomes is like, no way.
Yeah.
I want to be the next pro athlete to buy a baseball team.
Mm-hmm. Well, that goes back to our Devo, talk versus action, right?
Oh, yeah.
A-Rod and J-Lo and everybody else saying, oh, we're going to buy the Mets. We're going to buy the Mets. Pat Mahomes, he signs a check, says, here, I want on part of the Royals. He don't talk about it. He just does it. There was no report of this at all.
Right.
Until he did it, you know?
Right.
So that's crazy.
There's been a lot of talk about, you know, for months with A-Rod and J-Lo, so.
Yeah.
So
who knows? Who knows who might own a team come next week? We don't know. You know, we got Kanye saying he's running for president, too. But
yeah, I know.
Goodness gracious.
All right, but Neil, obviously you know me. I got some baseball news too.
You got extra baseball news now since we're actually playing baseball.
Right. Right. I know. Other than the fact that the Boston Red Sox are 1-3 as of this recording to begin the season. We lost 2 out of 3 against Baltimore and lost against the Mets last night. So
I have a 1-game advantage to be able to talk smack to you. We're 2-2. The Braves are 2-2.
Yes, you do. Well, yes, but on the positive side, even though the Red Sox are 1-3 to start the season, at least we are, as of right now, keeping on playing games, unlike the Miami Marlins, which as of right now, their 2020 season's kind of put on hold for now.
Yeah, and it might be on hold for longer than they think it is, too.
Right.
Because what's the total number up to right now? 17? It was 17 as of lunchtime today.
Right. As of lunchtime on Tuesday, they've had 17 positive cases, and the rest of the games for this week, which is games against Baltimore and Washington, have all been
yeah,
have all been postponed.
And whether or not they were
date.
Getting postponed or not, Washington, they had a team meeting today, and they all voted, no, we're not going down there. Which,
right.
Who could blame them? I mean,
right.
Seriously.
I mean, right, yeah.
But it's not worth the risk of going down there. And, like, you know, I hate that happened to the Marlins, right?
Right.
I mean, because that's a team that they just keep running into obstacles as a franchise of baseball.
Right, yeah, I know. It's like,
there was a running joke as soon as that Jeter bought the team. Well, did he buy the team, or is he just part of the ownership group? I'm not sure. But as soon as he got involved, there was no jokes going that he was ruining them. You know, he was just getting rid of all their players,
right? Getting rid of all their players and trying to, like, just ruin the team.
Yeah, and so, and I made a joke the other day that, well, Jeter found another way to ruin baseball, right?
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, I hate this happened, right?
I
hope they get better, because it's not only is it players, but it's people in the locker room. It's
oh,
it's
I know
personnel it's on that team.
Personnel on the. Like personnel, like training staff, or just the staff that work at the ballpark, yeah. And, you know, like all that kind of stuff.
And so, and who were the Marlins? They had the Phillies this past weekend, right?
Yes.
So I'm sure the Phillies players are definitely
concerned,
you know?
Which there has been positive news for the Phillies. As of right now, they haven't had any positive tests for the Phillies, and they played them, you know, on opening weekend.
Right.
So obviously that was a major concern for them.
Out of precaution, they hadn't played against the Yankees yet, right?
No.
Just to be safe.
Right.
But so, I mean, that's just this one thing that, you know, this thing is not going to go away tomorrow. As much as we would love for it to go away tomorrow, it's not going to happen in the next couple of weeks, unfortunately, either. We don't know when this thing's going to go away.
Right, yeah.
It's been
going
on
one of the unknowns,
since,
man.
Since March, like we've talked about. We've seen players get it, and they deal with it on an individual basis. That we saw Freddie Freeman. I mean, he had a really rough go at it.
Oh, yeah,
He said his fever spiked to 104, which is terrifying.
Crazy.
That's scary, man. But now we got a whole team that it's run into, which not to get too far off your stories, but brings up the topic. I just want to ask you real quick. Do you think they should have played in some kind of bubble, you know, because the NBA's doing it,
right?
The NHL's doing it, you know, seems the NHL and NBA's done pretty well about it so far.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Does this cause them to maybe say, hey, why don't we play at two or three stadiums? Or, hey, you know, what, like the NFL, maybe they're looking at this, maybe we should do a bubble too. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I think as far as that's concerned, looking back, they probably should have considered doing a bubble. But since they've already kind of gone about the season the way they have, and they've already planned it out the way it is, it's kind of hard to go back and say, okay, well, let's go about it this way. But taking a look back at it now, it probably would not have been a bad idea to consider doing a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I was kind of surprised when I first heard that they were just going to play at their home stadiums and just, like, play against, like teams in their particular area.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that obviously helps and, like, lessens the amount of travel, but you're still traveling a lot
over
the course of a 60-game season.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you're staying at hotels.
You're staying at hotels. Yeah. You're staying in different places. Mm-hmm. So, like, whenever I heard that the NBA was going to do a bubble and the NHL was planning on doing a bubble, I was honestly thinking before the season started, You know, like I was thinking before the season started, we should do a bubble, you know, because, you know, back when the NBA was talking about doing a bubble, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, because back when the NBA was talking about doing a bubble, the MLB hadn't even figured out what they were going to be doing yet.
Sure.
So there was still time to run through those kind of ideas and things like that. And it just kind of turned out the way it's been turning out. Like I said, I'm not really sure how the rest of the season's going to turn out. Like, just basically just hope and, you know, just kind of hope that major outbreaks like that are kind of as low as they can possibly go, and just try to finish out the season the way it's already been playing from here is the best you can, really.
Yeah, and I hope, you know, I wish all the best to the people in the Marlins organization.
Oh, absolutely.
On a lighter note, though, and then I'll let you get back to your stories. Did you see the umpire and manager argument with the Pittsburgh Pirates? Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
So, for y'all that didn't see it, the manager, I think his last name is Sheldon. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was very unhappy with the home plate umpire. And, you know, usually in baseball, they'll run out there and get, you know, inches from each other's faces and just scream, spit on each other.
Right,
all
that stuff.
With all this stuff going around and him having to social distance and wear a mask, they can't do that, Cody.
Yeah.
This guy,
it was kind of funny seeing you have an argument, like,
yelling at
apart.
Each other, manager still in the dugout, umpire still at home plate, hollering at each other. you can hear every word they're saying on television. Oh, I know. Because there's no crowd murmurs, no organ, no nothing going on.
Yeah.
Then as the manager,
that's definitely the disadvantage of having these sports with no fans. It's obviously not – fans, that mean there's a bad thing, but just you being able to hear everything.
That's why there's the blessing of the seven-second delay, Cody. So the manager, as he's coming out, the umpires take his protective mask off and put on his – COVID mask, for lack of a better term, and then the manager had to stay 6 feet away from him, put his mask on, and they were both just pointing at each other and hollering at each other.
Yes,
that was hilarious. So that was funny. I wanted to mention that just on a lighter note, because that was funny.
That was funny.
That was really funny.
It was honestly funny too, seeing one of the players get ejected from the stands, because he was literally sitting in the stands while he was watching a game. One of the pitchers from the bullpen, he was sitting behind home plate in the seats, and the home plate umpire tossed him. The first ejection of the 2020 season is a player sitting in the stands.
In the stands.
That was hilarious to me.
Even though it's made some very unnerving times and worrisome stuff about the season in general, about especially with the Marlins, but it has made some pretty funny content too.
With
the umpire, the Philly fanatic was up at the picture cutouts of fans and trying to get them to clap and high five them. That was funny too. So it's made some pretty funny moments as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right, so it's kind of funny that we just finished talking about things that were heartwarming about baseball, because we're fixing to get right back into something that's not good, at least for you, concerning the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves designated pitcher Mike Foltynewicz for assignment. I'm really surprised that I was able to say his name right.
It is. I just say Folty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what Folty. People say on TV. And honestly, Cody, that doesn't hurt my feelings one bit. Yeah, he's on waivers right now. Is that correct?
Yes.
So for y'all that don't know, Mike Foltynewicz, he was starting pitcher in Game 5 of the division series last year.
Yes, he was.
Against the Cardinals. Which was a phenomenal first four games of that series
teams. Oh, man.
That was a great playoff series. It's so much fun to watch. Both teams just going after it.
I watched that whole entire series all the way through, and it was nonstop entertaining. I mean, it was fun. The first four games was nonstop fun.
Oh, yeah. The only time I wasn't watching on TV, I was watching on my phone in the Deacons meeting, by the way. And me and another guy in there were kind of trying to secretly keep up with it as we were in the Deacons meeting on our phone, just kind of looking at the game track on the ESPN app. And every now and then, me and him would both go yes, trying to be real quiet about because that was game four. So we had to come from behind to win that game.
I was game four.
Yeah. Going back to game five. So Folty was the pitcher of game five.
Right.
Everybody thought, this was going to come down to the wire. It's going to be, the first person to score is probably going to, win, or the last person to score is definitely going to win. Duh. but it's going to come down to the last few innings. That's what I was trying to say.
Right.
This game was over after about four or five batters in the first inning.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mike Foltynewicz gave up 10 earned runs in the top of the first inning in that game.
And he only had one out, I think?
Yeah, one out. And so after that, huge meltdown, and people were wondering why in the world was Snitker keeping him out there. Even if you bring in a guy from the bullpen that ain't warmed up, he's got a better shot of getting this ending, at least he can warm up afterwards. But he faced so much criticism about keeping him out there, and then finally he ain't seen the mound since then.
Really. Right, since that and game, so his first official game.
So he
since
pitched
then.
Last night against the Rays, and I was like, all right, Folty, you got this. You hadn't played a full-on game since that debacle, okay?
Right.
Can't get no worse than that. Yes, it did. I'm pretty sure – his first few innings were great. All of a sudden, he started walking people. People started hitting dingers off of him.
Yeah.
And I thought, what was the final score? That's 14-5. All 14 runs wasn't off of him.
Right.
But it was five or six of them were.
I think I checked the final score. He pitched 3 1/3 innings and gave up 6 earned runs.
And as soon as the game was over – He was on waivers, designated on assignment is what they're called.
Right.
He's basically
put on waivers, and if someone claims him within a certain amount of time, they can. If not, he's sent down to a AAA team. But since there is no minor league baseball, he's going to basically be sent down to a training camp.
He's going to be at a training camp and then watching the games on TV. But maybe that's what he needs. He had a great first couple years. Maybe he's just on a skid, and maybe it's all in his head. We were watching a game the other day. Amber and I, we were watching the Braves, and I was thinking, we don't know what goes on in these pitchers' heads.
All right,
Now, I give Luke Jackson so much mess, too, and he actually closed out a win for us against the Mets the other day. But we don't know what goes on in their head.
Oh, yeah.
You
know,
he was, I was thinking, all right, Folti, you're back. Let's do this. He was like, oh, he might have been like, oh, man, I'm back. What if I give up 10 more runs? You know, it could be a mental thing. And maybe he just needs a mental break from it. Who knows? But on the other side of things, on Snitker's side, hats off to him for being, you know, so upfront about saying, hey, look, you're not working out. We don't have time for this. We got what? I mean, they're 2-2. That's four games. They got 56 more games
right
before the season's over. They have no time to develop something this year.
Right.
So going back to the Braves again, you know, they struck out a lot last night, but they're so aggressive at the plate because they only have 56 more games. They got to score as many runs as they can and win as many ball games as they can. But whew, that was rough last night.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I wasn't watching that game because I was busy watching the Red Sox pitching be really bad. But I felt pretty bad for Folti. I mean, like, I watched him when he pitched in the All-Star game a couple years ago, MLB right. All-Star game a couple years ago. That was a lot of fun to watch. And during that season, I think it was the 2018 season.
Oh, he was phenomenal.
Oh, he was amazing.
And he was great last year, too, right, before game five.
Right. And it's like, you know, it's always a shame seeing guys that reach a really big pedestal, because I think 2018 was like a huge leap for him in like kind of becoming part of the core rotation for the Braves. And then obviously that game five last year, and because you have such a short season this year, you have a lot shorter leash.
Oh yeah.
You know, he hasn't had the greatest stretch over his last few starts. And I just hope that whether he plays for the Braves again or not, if he plays baseball again or not.
Right.
I just hope he comes back. I just hope he can come back strong and do well again.
He'll play for somebody. He'll have a spot, whether it's on the Braves or somebody. He'll have a spot. It just didn't work out.
I honestly want him to play for the Red Sox because our pitching is trash. So I wouldn't mind if he came just to have a change of scenery. Maybe that'll help. I don't know.
It might happen. Who knows?
All right. So I got one last story, and this is not baseball related, surprisingly. This is football related. Yes, I know. It's a complete shocker.
You know, there's more than one sport. I didn't know that you knew that.
Yes, I know. The New York Jets trade young safety Jamal Adams to the Seattle Seahawks for 2 first-round picks and another safety.
I tell you, the Jets got a heck of a deal.
I was about to say that was a great trade for the Jets. Uh-huh. And, I mean, like, as far as in terms of what the Jets got, they got a really good deal out of that.
They got an awesome deal about that. And, you know, this has been, I think, what's last longer, COVID or Jamal Adams wanting to get traded from the Jets? Who knows?
Yeah, I was about to say.
He finally got traded.
Yes, he went
to a team that he seems really excited about. I'm sure he had some say on where they wanted to try to trade him to. But he finally got traded. But you know what's the funniest thing out of all this situation?
What?
Was how salty Le'Veon Bell was about this. Did you see that on Twitter and whatnot?
And that was really ironic to me that he was that way.
Extremely hypocritical.
It was hypocritical because he... Like, it was weird, salty. Like, it was this weird, salty, and it was so hypocritical because he literally sat out an entire season.
Yeah.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers missed the playoffs because he wasn't on the team.
Right. And so he said something on the lines of, like, you know, these guys, they hype you up and talk all this talk to get you here, and then they just get mad and leave. I'm like, dude, that's exactly what you did in Pittsburgh.
I'm like, that's exactly what you did when you played for Pittsburgh.
You were on a wave runner in Miami during the season, okay, and refusing to play for them, and then they finally trade you, and then you're mad at somebody else for doing basically the same thing.
Right.
If this would have went on into the season, I guarantee you Jamal Adams would not have played a game for the Jets until he got
No,
traded.
Probably not, no.
So, I mean, you can't. Come on, man.
Yeah, like... That was honestly a pretty funny point that I literally didn't even think about that until you just now said that.
I got a good laugh out of that. And my personal opinion, I no hate on Jamal Adams at all. He's a phenomenal talent, and he'll be great in Seattle. This would have been a better trade about a few years ago, you know, to be in Seattle. But, I mean, Seattle's up and coming again. I mean, daggum, Russell Wilson's playing like he's 5 years younger again. And but in my opinion, the Jets got a better end of the deal.
On this
trade. They got what, 2 first rounders?
Yeah, yeah. 2 first round picks, and basically the person who'd be taking his place in a Bradley McDougal. So yeah, you know,
and getting one first rounder in the NFL of a trade is great.
Oh, I know.
Getting
two—that's insane,
phenomenal.
Oh, okay? I know.
And we know how the Jets draft. So maybe they're like, well, now we have two chances to not mess it up. You know,
yeah.
So we'll see. But, yeah, I was glad to finally see that done because, I mean, when the guy wants out, he wants out, and he's not going to, you know, he's not going to stop until he is out. No matter what your opinion is on that, about how players, they just decide they don't want to play for somebody anymore until they get, and they just, you know, kind of talk about it until they get traded. But I was glad to see that was over with, for sure.
Yeah, same here. All right, so I got one final story to end the episode. Okay, I'm actually thinking about changing the name of this segment because this isn't really a good D so much. This is good news.
Is it of the week or is it of the century? Because, you know, last
week.
Okay.
It's of the week this week. Like, this happened literally this past week.
Because last week yours was good deed of the, like, 2012 or something. I don't
know. It was like 2 months ago, I think, is when that story took place. But yeah.
No, slight exaggeration on my part. Sorry.
It's all right. But anyway. Alrighty. So, the Colorado Rockies. Mm-hmm. As of the last couple of years, they haven't been the greatest team in the world. I think they've made the playoffs once in the last, like, however many years it's been. And they lost in the wild card game a few years ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But one of the big reasons for that has been their pitching. Their pitching hasn't been the greatest the last couple seasons.
Sure.
And what was kind of funny about them is, like, right before the season started, they released two of their pitchers.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, two of their pitchers, like, right before the season started. But then they signed some random guy whose name is Daniel Bard.
Bard. B-A-R-D?
Yes.
Bard.
Daniel Bard.
Okay.
And what's kind of funny about that name is that, if you're a Red Sox fan like me, you haven't heard the name Daniel Bard since 2013.
Oh, okay.
Because that was the last time he played in a Major League Baseball game.
So he's not new.
He's definitely not new. He was a first-round pick in the 2006 draft by the Boston Red Sox.
Oh.
And he played for the Red Sox up until 2013. His last Major League appearance was in 2013, and his last Major League win was in 2012.
How old is this guy?
He's 35 years old, and the Rockies signed him just after they released two pitchers, Brian Shaw and Jake McGee. It's funny because both of them are actually younger than Daniel Bard.
Yeah.
But anyway, Daniel Bard hasn't played in a Major League game in 7 years, and he finally got his chance this past weekend in the first series of the year against the Texas Rangers. He came out. He got the win.
Nice.
In relief.
Yeah.
He pitched an inning in the third, and he got the win against the Texas Rangers. His last Major League appearance was April 27, 2013, which was, like I said, basically a year after his last Major League win. So it's
right.
His first win in 8 years, his first appearance in 7 years. And I just thought it was a pretty cool story because one of the common things – when a player doesn't do good, all of a sudden in baseball, they say they got the yips,
mm-hmm.
which basically means, you know, that they went from being great to just all of a sudden being really bad and can't do anything.
Right.
It happens a lot with pitchers is what they say.
Uh-huh.
So what happened was is that once Daniel Bard began kind of not playing that great, and I was kind of in 2013 with the Red Sox, he actually became a coach for one of the teams down in the minor leagues for a few years. And then he just kind of had that burning desire to want to play again in the big leagues and try to make a comeback. Now, for obviously a lot of players, you've heard that a lot of times about players for different sports wanting to make comebacks,
yeah,
and a lot of the times it doesn't work out.
Right.
But for Daniel Bard, he tried hard, he pursued, and he was informed right before the season that he had made the opening day roster for the Colorado Rockies. And for the first time in 7 years, he pitched a major league game. And he got the win. He did amazing. And as a fan of the Red Sox, I wasn't very happy with Daniel Bard towards the end of his time with the Red Sox, you know, just because he wasn't doing that great.
Sure.
But it was really cool being able to see him finally pitch again in the big leagues after 7 years, because, like I said, that kind of stuff hardly ever happens for any kind of sport, for a guy to make a comeback, especially when you haven't played in 7 years, at least at that level. So it was really cool to see him come back and pitch well and finally, you know, and, you know, bring his presence back to the MLB.
Well, cool deal. That's awesome, man. That's a really cool story. I would have never known that if you wouldn't have told me that today. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool deal, man. Well, that's all I got for today. You got anything else?
I think I'm good, man.
All right. Well, hope y'all enjoyed today's show. Our contact info was mentioned in the breaks, and you can find it in the show notes below. Y'all have a great week. Y'all wish Cody the best on his vacation next week.
Yes, thank
week.
You.
He'll have a little portion to throw into the solo episode I'll do next week. But I'll see y'all next week, and we'll see. We'll have some fun with it. Y'all have a good week. Bye.